We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you strengthen our faith now in God's only begotten Son as you reveal to us one of the beautiful seven glories that you list here in the opening verses of Hebrews. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming all of you who are worshiping with us live via the speakerphones, which, once again, are all of our members here this morning, and also those of you who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here on the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where spring has temporarily left us, and as we look out the windows, we see the ground is covered with snow, which is not really unusual in Wisconsin. In fact, March, we usually get a lot of snow. We haven't had much yet. But anyway, it's got kind of a winter look to it, but we know that spring is not very far away. Now, there's a saying here in this area. I think it goes, I've heard it one of two ways. The first robin will get snowed on three times, or the first robin will get snowed on seven times, and I'm not sure which of the two is correct. But the robins right now have been snowed on. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be looking at one phrase in verse 2, by whom he made the worlds. And to get back to the cost of discipleship as the Son of God gives it to us, and he never tried to hide this in the fine print. He was always very open with it. And he said, if any would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And as we look at his own life and throughout history, there really aren't many takers here. And while it is true that at the beginning of his ministry, he was followed by hundreds of thousands of people, it's also true that when the whole thing was over, there were only a handful that were left. From that day, many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him. And that's the story of it all. And finally, he looked at his 12 disciples and said, will you also go away? And history has shown that there is nobody in the history of the world that has been hated to the degree that Jesus Christ is hated by so many people. He's a sign that is spoken against. But there is another side to the coin. There are those who love him dearly, so much so that they will give their life for him. And there are some that take up the cross every day, not grudgingly, but with joy. They give up all that they have so they can follow him. And how can we have this joy? Well, the Holy Spirit makes it very easy for us to have this joy. In the opening verses of Hebrews chapter 1, just as the golden candlestick was illuminated in the tabernacle by the seven bowls of oil that burned and illuminated the glory and the beauty of that thing. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing for you and for me. He's showing us the glory and the beauty of the one whom we've given up everything to follow by the grace of God. Last week, he told me that the one whom I love is heir of all things. And not only that, but that I am a joint heir with him. That was last week. Now this week, the second bowl illumines another glory of Jesus Christ. This one looking at him from the side of his divinity. By whom he, God the Father, by whom he made the worlds. Not only is my Savior the heir of all things from the human side, but from his divine side, He was actually active in the creation. And then this is no new thought, by the way. The opening words of Scripture tell us this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And in an obvious reference to these words, John begins his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word." And God said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. And then Colossians, chapter 1, 16 and 17. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The word "consist" there means all things hold together. If it weren't for the power of God, the power of the Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, everything would disintegrate. But he's holding it all together. Now, back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said this, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Let them have dominion. So, if it's true that Jesus Christ created everything, then we should find some evidence in his lifetime on this earth that he controls the creation that he made. And lo and behold, we do. And you can name a lot of them. Let's look at a few of them. Starting out with looking up into the heavens, his star. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.'" And then a few verses down, "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." The star was his star. And like all the other stars, he controlled it. Coming down now to our world, the wind. "And when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he saith unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" It hadn't hit them yet, but it would. This man who controls the winds and the sea, is also the Almighty God. Then the fig tree. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. This is told us in Mark chapter 11. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Dominion over the whole creation. And then that fish, that amazing fish, when they were come to Capernaum in Matthew 17, they that received the tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? And he saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. Jesus spoke to him first, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea and cast up a hook, and take the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands or more fish were in that sea. Peter goes down and throws a hook into the sea, and one specific fish goes down to the bottom, picks up a coin in its mouth, comes up and bites the hook of Peter, and delivers the coin into his hand. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And of course, there are spiritual applications to all of this. God's people are compared to fish at different times in Scripture. And here, the control of God's people by the Son is shown in Mark chapter 12. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, why would she do that? And Scripture here doesn't come right out and tell us. Did she evidently take an oath and pray to God for some blessing that if he would grant her this blessing, she would cast in all that she had? I don't know. Or did God give her a direct command to do it? I don't know. But here is one person, one poor widow, that is singled out. And what she dropped into the treasury, humanly speaking, was nothing. Two mites, which make a farthing. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, he said one time. It was such a little amount that you could get two sparrows for one of them. Sparrows didn't amount that much either, neither did a farthing. But she cast in more than all the rest of them, because she gave him everything that she had. And it wasn't only one fish either, the multitude of fish in John 21. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any food, any meat? They answered him, No. He saith unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. In other words, they were fishing out of the wrong side of the boat. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. Well, there was a miracle here. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. The disciples didn't have it, but John knew who did. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Nobody but him could do this. And then there was that colt in Luke chapter 19. Go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering in ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man sat. An unbroken colt, never had been ridden. Loose him and bring him hither. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt and set Jesus thereon. And Jesus, sitting on an unbroken colt that had never, ever before been ridden, was now given a nice, quiet ride by that colt into Jerusalem, with hundreds and thousands of people yelling and tearing down palm branches and spreading their garments in the way. But the colt gave him a nice, quiet ride. And then there's that herd of swine that Ben seems to like so well. It's in Matthew chapter 8. And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. One of the gospel writers tells us there are about 2,000 of them, controlled by the one who created all things. And there's a spiritual application of this too that is going to unfold at the last day. Heathen people are compared to swine. The enemy, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these also shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. He has dominion. All things were made by him and for him. And then there's that rooster in Matthew 26. Then began Peter to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately, the words had just come out of his mouth, immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, twice thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Then there was that band of heavily armed soldiers in that scary scene that unfolded out in Gethsemane that night. John 18 tells it. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They were coming out after him. He was waiting for them. He came out to meet them. Who are you looking for? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he saith unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. A motley crew of soldiers, many of them undoubtedly Roman soldiers, well versed in battle, fell to the ground at his word, the word I am. Same word mentioned back in the burning bush in the book of Exodus. the Almighty I Am. And then one more example, maybe the greatest one, I don't know. Matthew in Mark chapter 2. As he passed by, Jesus, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. Levi was a tax collector. He was one of the most wealthy men in the land. Sitting at his receipt of custom, surrounded by all of his money, and love of money for sure is the root of all evil. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. He has dominion over his whole creation. And the spiritual application of this would be in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So the one that you and I worship, the one with whom we're going to spend all eternity as his bride in his kingdom of glory, not only is heir of all things, but he's the creator of all things. All things were made by him, and all things are controlled by him. And the one who is guiding every step of your life and mine, the one who gives us the cross that he's talking about when he says, "If any will be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The one who gives us that cross is the one who controls it and loves us even unto death. I'm going to end the sermon by reading what I consider to be one of the most amazing sections in all Scripture. And I'm talking about Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 22, where the Son of God speaks. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting." Not I was created. He was not created. He's eternal. "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the great deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I was his delight. Jesus Christ was the delight of the Father. And the whole creation is created for Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth." This is Christ speaking, Jesus. "And my delights were with the sons of men." And this shows us the heart of Jesus when he was involved in the creation. His delights were with the sons of men. He was thinking during the creation process about you and about me. He was thinking about his bride. And when the epistle says, all things are for your sakes, the Holy Spirit there is not kidding. Everything is working for your good and for mine. The conclusion of the matter in Proverbs 8 is this. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Even when we have to take up a cross every day and follow him? Oh yes, because there's a blessing in that cross that you're carrying. Remember who gave it to you. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is that man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. The words of the only begotten Son of God. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for illuminating for us in the very opening words of the book of Hebrews the glories of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And we pray that you open the hearts of all of your elect, that we may have this word become engrafted to save our souls, and that as we live the cross-bearing life that we have in this life, lifetime here on this earth, and we suffer with our Savior, that we may do it not grudgingly, but for joy may give up everything we have and follow him. That after we have suffered with him here in this world, we may live with him in glory in the world to come.